You tell him I'm coming, and Jason's coming with me. You hear? Jason's coming with me!
The Medic Shack. Join Cat Ellis and myself, Chuck Hudson, live on the Just Measures Radio Network. 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, where we can show you how combat medicine and alternative healing can work together as one to help you survive anything that nature or man may throw at you. The Medic Shack on the Just Measures Radio Network.
Mr. President, members of Congress, you've been making a lot of noise about taking our guns away. But you might want to review history. 1835, Gonzales, Texas Territory. The authorities wanted to confiscate the big gun that protected that colony. You know what the people said? Come and take it. Because they were willing to fight for their freedom and their guns. So are we.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time, just like Gonzales. We're keeping our guns.
The lights and the barber.
The Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time here on Just Measures Radio Network. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs.
There's a star-spangled banner waving somewhere in a distant land so many miles.
Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream sat one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man, and I can't seem to stop.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
But you can find it right here on the Shooting Bench, coming up next.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall.
You need the Shooting Bench.
We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline.
And I am sick of the lies and the deceit and the intrusions on my privacy and the invasion of my home. And we do not intend to take this lying down.
I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way.
And now, if you think you're ready, the Shooting Bench.
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin skin, limp wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
Alrighty, here we are. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is Tuesday, the 15th of July, halfway through this cotton picking month, which we just started. But that's the way it goes, I guess. Alright, let me check and see here. We got Mars and Cowboy in there with us tonight. A bunch of the regulars. A couple of anonymous. Very good. Glad to see you guys in there tonight, all of you. We have a veritable plethora of stuff in here. Thank you, Pumpkin Cat. We have a whole bunch of stuff tonight to talk about. We're going to go through as quickly as we can on account of I want to try to get through some of this stuff tonight. Boy, we've got a bunch of it. So let me go ahead and get everything brought up here. And where to start? We've got a little bit of gun related. I'm saving a lot of the gun stuff for Thursday night, but some of it just can't be. It can't wait. I think we need to get on with it now. So let's do that. From I know most of us, including me, have thought that Governor Christie, New Jersey, has made some bad decisions. As a matter of fact, he is Mr. Rhino. But something he's done here in the last 3 days, 4 days. In Wednesday of last week, let's see, it would have been 2 weeks ago tomorrow, yeah. He vetoed some legislation that would have banned the possession of ammunition magazines holding more than 10 rounds. Now, this is not only the purchase, if you already have them, it would have banned them. So it says, these are the type of magazines most commonly found, of course, in handguns and semi-automatic rifles. So, more than a year ago, he had urged people to, quote, act like grown-ups on this issue. And I guess it appeared to be a question of intellectual and emotional maturity of gun control. Anyway, it says this ban is the very embodiment of reform in name only. It simply defies common sense to believe that imposing a new and entirely arbitrary number of bullets that can lawfully be loaded into a firearm will somehow eradicate or even reduce future instances of mass violence. I will not support such a trivial approach to the sanctity of human life. Now, I don't know, I don't see how he let some of these other laws get by and has such a common sense approach to this one. I don't know what the hell is up with him, what he's smoking, but you know, this is the absolutely the right attitude to have on this. Where was it when New Jersey was passing all this other stuff? He said, "We will not settle for grandstanding reform in name only. Mass violence will not end by changing the number of bullets loaded into a gun. It will end with a serious commitment to elevating our response to mental illness. It will end by taking seriously our duty to incarcerate violent criminals, not by criminalizing the conduct of law-abiding citizens to score political points." He said, "If you take the logical conclusion of their argument, you go to zero, because every life is valuable. So why 10? Why not 6? Why not 2? Why not 1? Why not 0? Why not just ban guns completely?" He said, "I understand their argument. I've heard their argument. I don't agree with their argument. We have a fundamental disagreement about the effectiveness of what they're advocating. And I've listened to them. I've met with them. I heard their arguments directly and personally. I've read a lot on this issue, and I made the decision that I made." So, in spite of the other things that we don't agree with Governor Christie, he seems to be on the right side of the fence. There's quite a bit more to this story. But, New Jersey passed the magazine capacity limit of 15 rounds, but that was prior to Governor Christie. That was Jim Florio, a Democrat, that signed that into law. Anyway, a little bit of good news coming out of New Jersey. not a whole lot and not very often, but there's a little bit there. Let's see. He did not mention the Constitution, didn't mention the individual's right to keep and bear arms. No, he did not. You remember Ray Nagin, right? Remember when Katrina come through New Orleans? Well, Mayor Ray Nagin of New Orleans has been sentenced to 10 years in federal prison. This is because of his, primarily because of his unconstitutional confiscation of lawfully owned firearms during the hurricane. And the city of New Orleans agreed to settle a lawsuit initiated by the NRA. A permanent injunction was issued against the city, and who was then the mayor. The Second Amendment Foundation assisted the NRA in doing this. And so he was sentenced to 10 years for public corruption. These charges go back to this gun confiscation, wire fraud, bribery, tax evasion, a whole bunch of other stuff that went on. So he was, he sounded like he needed to be in Chicago. He would have fit right in there. You guys may have been watching the news about this little cheerleader out of Texas. And just absolutely gorgeous little gal. Her name's Kendall Jones. She's 19 years old, Texas Tech. And she went on a big game hunt to Africa. Evidently, Daddy's got lots of money. And she posted some of her pictures on Facebook. Now, a lot of the animals were not even dead. A lot of the animals were, what do they call it? I believe it was a, I think they called it a green hunt or something like that. But a lot of these animals were shot with tranquilizers. They were put down for tagging and health checks and stuff like this, or relocation or something like that. So a lot of the animals that she shot weren't even dead. I'm certain that at least a couple of them were, because one of them apparently she got with a bow. And I doubt that she knocked a lion down with a bow so they could tranquilize it, so they could, how do I know? Maybe they didn't. Maybe they had a very low power bow and shot it in the shoulder or the butt or something. But I'm thinking probably not. I'm thinking she killed the lion, which is fine. That's all right. But, let's see. Anyway. She has caught ever loving hell on Facebook because of her pictures. What bothers me so bad is it's bad enough that these childish idiot moron brainless scum sucking bottom feeding punks out there would attack her the way they do, but the things that they say, they want to kill her, they want to the lion to eat her. They want all this stuff. This is coming from people that want to ban guns, that want peace, that want everybody to get along together. Can't we all just live happily ever after and get along? And no, they want to kill her. They want to see her dead. Well, there's one politician in Virginia, left-wing liberal type. He's offering $100,000 to anyone that could provide pictures of this beautiful young lady, Kendall Jones, naked pictures. They want to post some pictures of her. Let's see. What does it say? $100,000 to anyone who has nude photos or videos of Kendall Jones at Texas Tech. She deserves to be a target. The $100,000 offer was just one part of the attack. He also posted additional messages on Twitter. It says, does Kendall Jones use vegetables as sex toys? Does she enjoy being spanked? We want to know. Coming from I know these politicians, a lot of these liberal politicians are low-life idiots anyway, but do they not think that possibly this kind of behavior and these kind of comments may affect their possibility of being reelected? What do they not think about this kind of stuff? I would never say that about, well, no, I wouldn't. I wouldn't do that. There's a lot of things I say about the opposition, but things like that is way overboard. Now, for someone that attacks my rights or something, then all bets are off. All the stops are pulled. It's different. But just for things that they do and things that they, their own personal life and behavior, that's a little bit ridiculous. But anyway, there was, I think there was an update on here, left-wing liberal campaigning for Congress. Let's see. Here's an update. Speaking by cell phone Thursday morning, Mike Dixon informed the Blaze you'd think that these people, one of my many pet peeves is when you have something as professional and big name as the Blaze or CNN or MSNBC or Fox or anybody else, Huffington Post, that they'd have a fourth grader there that can proofread some of this stuff and make sure it's right. Let me go through this here. Speaking by cell phone, Blaze, he still considers himself a candidate for the 7th congressional district seat that will be vacated by Eric Cantor at the end of his term. Gun owners and conservatives dumped Cantor here a while back for a Tea Partier. That was awesome. When asked if he considered himself to be a Democrat, he likened his political leanings to those of Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren. I make President Obama look conservative. I'm very, very liberal, he told. Boy, that's something to be proud of. The discussion turned from Dickinson's political leanings to his online attack on the cheerleader. Why did he feel it was necessary to put out a $100,000 bounty on a young woman who was doing something that may have been distasteful for some, but it was perfectly legal? As far as Kendall Jones goes, he said, one, she's 19, so a lot of people online on Twitter are going, how can you solicit child pornography? She's a kid. She's this. She's that. She's 18. She's old enough to go to war. She's old enough to vote and die for this country. He said he also described Jones's enjoyment of hunting as obscene. Asked why he thought it was okay to publicly shame a 19-year-old girl for doing what was perfectly legal, he said she deserves to be shamed. I think anything that stops these people from killing these animals is legal. Dickinson also made mention of Hustler magazine publisher Larry Flint calling him my mentor. Boy, now that's something to be proud of. Well, here's another story now about a girl who is equally attractive, equally, well, not quite the same age. She's 17 instead of 19. She's out of Belgium, and she was also, she had gotten a lifetime, or a once-in-a-lifetime, modeling contract with L'Oreal, and she was spotted while she was cheering at a World Cup thing in Brazil, and they saw that and hired her, you know, most Ricky Tick, and then she went hunting. She did the same thing that Kendall Jones did. She went to Africa, got a gazelle, and posted her kill on Facebook. And L'Oreal dropped her. They decided they would not work with her. They acknowledged the company was aware of the hunting photo, but wouldn't comment on its role in their decision. This marks the second incident. Well, the other one was the Kendall Jones that we talked about a while ago. Facebook did remove the images of the animals considered endangered, without even looking at the fact that they were tranquilized, not killed. So there you go. Let's see. Go. The 007, yeah, I'd run for mayor of Shots Ranch. I don't know if I'd make it or not. I'd probably Jason would probably win out, but I'd give him a run for his money. All right, let's move on. Damn, we got a lot of stuff to do here. Here's something that some of you might want to move to Arizona so you can vote on this here in November, on November 4th. We are voting for full nullification powers against the efforts of Obama, the federal stuff here. But the only thing it does, it's I appreciate the thought and everything, but all it does actually, if even if it's passed, the feds would still be able to do the things that they do, but they'd enforce their own laws and implement their own programs, do whatever it is that they do. The only thing is, Arizona would deny any state funds or personnel from helping in those efforts. So, I mean, that's a good thing, but it's not as good as it could be. What we need to do is kick the feds out of Arizona completely and take over the military bases and the national parks, the national monuments and all that, and say, okay, we got it from here. We appreciate y'all putting this in there, getting it all set up. Now just pack your stuff, put it in the truck, and drive away. Go back to from whence you came, and don't take anything with you. That would work perfectly. I would go for that. I'd be okay with that. Okay, let's change gears here just a little bit. Let's see if we can get another one in or two here before the break. This is the kind of stuff that scares me to death. You know, I was talking to Amy the other day. I said, man, we don't even know what in the world. You try to keep your nose clean. You try to drive the speed limit. You do things because you don't want confrontations. You don't want engagements of any kind with law enforcement. I mean, it's been that way forever. We just don't. And most of us try to avoid that if we can. I told Amy, it's getting to a point where we don't even know. We have no idea what we do sometimes that might get you thrown in jail, arrested, attacked, shot, you know, whatever. Well, this is what happened in Blanchester, Ohio. Here's a guy that got arrested and lost his job because his 8-year-old son was exploring the neighborhood by himself. He could face up to 6 months in jail. This kid decided he'd skip church without telling his father. When the church van came to pick him up Sunday morning, the boy instead walked a half a mile from his home to a local Dollar General store. The local busybody, which every little town's got one or more, called the police to report an unattended minor. Called the police because you see an 8-year-old boy walking downtown. They rounded the kid up and then came after his dad. Next thing you know, the officer comes. This is his dad talking. Next thing you know, the officer came up to me and says, "You're under arrest." My kids started crying their eyes out, wondering why I'm getting arrested. They arrest him on a charge of child endangerment. If he's convicted of that, he'll spend 6 months in jail. He said it's ridiculous to me. Of course it's ridiculous. His arrest was telegraphed on the front page of the local newspaper, and he was subsequently fired from his job. Kids are now firmly and absolutely afraid of the police. Every time we leave in our car and drive downtown, it's something like every time we see a cop, they freak out and say, "Daddy, Daddy, are they going to arrest you?" They are now. Is this going to backfire on them? Is this fear that they're causing here, causing on kids? Is this going to make them scared and compliant, or is it going to make them scared and resistant, rebellious? I don't know how many times I've told you guys this, but, and I know that many of you have done the same thing. Many of you probably still let your kids do the same thing. You know, when I was 6, count them, 6, less than 7, but a little more than 5, I walked all over town. I would go down on the Sunday afternoon matinee to the show and get a Coke and popcorn, watch a movie for a quarter. No, I watched the movie for 15 cents. I got a Coke and popcorn for a nickel apiece. And I'd go by myself or one of my friends, you know, two. We'd each be 6 years old, six or seven. And we walked down. It was about, it was a half a mile or a little, yeah, probably half a mile, a little less maybe, to the local theater, to the Allen Theater. And we did it, you know, my whole life. Now, things have gotten a little bit different, and I would never let my kids do that until they were older, not because I was afraid I'd get in trouble, but because of the low-life, scroungy, no-good, rotten filth that walks the street out there that tried to abduct or injure, assault children. And in order for me to keep me from having to hunt somebody down and kill them dead with extreme prejudice, then I keep my kids, you know, where I take them where they need to go instead of allowing them to walk a lot of times till they got a little older, old enough that I knew they could outrun the average adult or outfight them, one or the other. But, yeah, Pumpkin Cat, I needed to be in by dark or it was hell to pay. Now, that was another thing. If you didn't do what you were supposed to do, it may conceivably be a little hard to sit down for a little while. I mean, they give me pretty good freedom, but if I was told to be home at a certain time, I damn sure better be home at a certain time. But this guy was arrested. It says, well, this is the rest of the story, just telling you the same thing. Here, only a generation ago, it would have been normal and acceptable for children to walk around the neighborhood as a mode of transportation and to keep themselves busy. Without warning, it has become a crime with the potential to ruin and break apart innocent families. Yeah. What would your granddad think about this, right? Your grandparents? Mm-mm-mm. Well, the next one here... This is one of those I ought to save till Thursday night, but I think I'll add a few more to this and make this an extravaganza tonight, and I guess that's what you call it. But anyway, what I believe I'm going to do right now is I'm going to go take a break, and I'll be back here in just a minute.
Hello, Infidel. Infidel phone ringing. Oh yes, Infidel, pick up the phone. It could be Allah calling. Oh, pick up the phone before it blows up. Pick up the phone. Oh, Allah Akbar. Allah Akbar. Pick up the phone.
Criminals prefer an unarmed public. Our nation's worst crime statistics and most horrific recent events have taken place in areas that are known to be no-carry zones for law-abiding citizens. There's a reason schools make such good targets for gun violence. Only the criminal will be armed.
I had to chuckle because then I noticed he had Mr. Brady up here who was hit not with an assault weapon but with a .22 caliber revolver. So getting beyond that.
It's about the weapons, the guns. Where did the killer get them?
They're shocked at how easy it is to purchase a gun.
It is simply too easy to obtain a firearm.
While the gun is considered an instrument of war by many, to me, it is clearly an instrument of peace and of liberty. The gun promotes peace in the hands of peaceful people. The gun has no mind of its own, it has no morals, and it has no conscience. In the same moment that the gun takes a life, it can be saving one and not be able to distinguish the difference. The gun and its use, for good or for evil, is solely at the discretion of its bearer.
It took me a good 45 seconds to realize that this man wasn't there to commit a robbery. He wasn't there for a hit. He was there to simply shoot as many people as he possibly could.
The gun levels the playing field when confronted by larger men, armed men, multiple attackers, and tyrannical governments. The right of self-preservation, the right to possess that gun, was afforded me by my maker and is non-negotiable. It is not up for consideration or discussion by any man or group of men on this earth. The right to bear arms is what protects my other rights, and considering the source of that right, it cannot and will not be taken away or disguised as some watered-down compromise. Few rights that man is born with, and it has been that way since the dawn of time. The Constitution of the United States enumerates those rights for us, and the protection that it affords us is comforting. However, the Constitution has been ignored, gagged, whisked away to an office full of men that have taken pleasure in violating her, leaving her torn and bleeding, unable to help herself. People that were appointed stewards over her have been neglectful. They have been lured into complacency and have inadvertently turned a blind eye towards this criminal act. We, the people, have been distracted. We were promised safety and protection by the very men that have perpetrated this vile deed. Without the support and protection of free men, dedicated, patriotic Americans, the Constitution is truly nothing more than a piece of paper.
Remember real clear years ago in the swamps of South Georgia, cane pole and crossman in my hands, all I needed to be growed up. Ice cream and barbecue and the family on Friday nights. 10-lane Ram on Saturday right before the morning light. Came a time I was old enough and I learned about the gun. And every night at supper time I answer to what I've done. Hooks today, blood forgot about the way it used to be. They got no respect and no cold steel, just games on TV. A burning hell before I sell. It's high time we embrace the tool that keeps all men free.
We have a message for those that would take our guns away, whomever they may be. From whatever country, whatever unconstitutional faction they may belong to, please understand that we have had everything taken from us that we are willing to surrender. Some of us have been shooting since before many of you were born. Many of us were trained by the same people that trained you, and some of us, through years of experience, know tricks that they haven't taught you yet. Think of your families and your future with them as we have done. We have decided that our future and that of our children cannot and will not be without freedom. We are willing to die to defend those God-given rights if need be. The question that each of you must ask yourselves, are you willing to die to take them away?
From Hillary Clinton, from Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, from a whole gaggle of numbnuts who would try to tell me they will dictate where, how, and if I can defend myself. I find that preposterous. I find it unacceptable, and I will not accept it. I am a free man. Don't tread on me.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Colt Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench, here on Just Measures Radio.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me
there. All right, we're back. Appreciate y'all hanging with me. Well, we got a few new ones in. Looks like we got some anonymous in there that wasn't in there before. And the Tinker's joined us. JB Ellison has joined us. Glad you can make it in. All right, good deal. Glad to see that. Let me see. Let me. Let me scroll up here and see if I missed anything here. All right. J.B. Ellison, good question. Apparently he's in California or somewhere similar. Good question. Why can't the militias unite? Well, the militias cannot unite. Well, you know, there's just too many out there that's got that ego and that arrogance that, you know, I have to be boss. I've got to be the general. There can't be any general over me. I make all the decisions, and you guys do what I say. And when that is able to go, now the thing is that there is no, and I've seen this happen for years. There is no, since there's no legal disciplinary action other than I'm going to kick you out of my club. Why do I hear? Where do I hear noise here? Got something going on, and I need to find it. Right there it is. Hear that jackass talking. All right, I fixed that. Sorry about that. So, anyway, we've got... hey, Queso joined us. Good to see you. Until I think that the militias will be bound by fire. When there are actual fighting units out there, and there'll be some very hard discipline meted out when this happens, when people will be told. You won't do that. You won't say that. You won't go over there. You won't talk to those people. You won't do this. You won't do that. Or I'll shoot you. And you either you take them. We've thought about this a lot in our group. And you can't, unless it is endangering lives, endangering the security of the country, you cannot just go around shooting people. You can, however, take them out somewhere in the, way away from town or out in the worst part of town or whatever, the worst part of the country, and take their boots, don't leave a jacket, and say, okay, if you, by the time you find your way out of here and make it back, we'll be finished and you can't hurt us anymore. Or you can put them in chains. You know, you can imprison them, and that will become, at right now, it would be a felony. When the balloon goes up and that the rule of law is no more, we'll have a little more free hand as to how we deal with provocateurs and troublemakers. You know, so until that happens. It's always going to be that way. I've watched it over and over and over and over. And matter of fact, we've seen it firsthand very, very recently. But it's not surprising. Queso, that's exactly right. When the militia is needed, when there's actually a when they're needed to a point where the general population says, hey, we have got to do something. We've got to have the militia in here. And when things start warming up a little bit, yeah, some of these fantasy generals and colonels and whatnot will fall away. And that will... leaders, good leaders, the George Washingtons among us will emerge when the time is right. And, you know, we see some of the weirdest, the stupidest people out there that are trying to, I told you about the little colonel in, from California at Bundy Ranch. And Bundy Ranch actually, for the most part, went a little better than I had expected. It was a long ways from perfect, but I think everybody learned a lot. And I think there's still learning to be done. And eventually, see, the militias up till now have been strictly, absolutely 100%, no exception, training exercises. They go and go out by themselves, maybe with another group, and they train. So they haven't really had to push or enforce operational security and different things out there quite as much. They would teach it and train with it, but it didn't matter that much if you neglected it. And this was a little more real, a little more was at stake here. And I think that a lot of people realized that. If they didn't know it when they got there, they realized it pretty quick after they arrived. So the Queso City's heard five different people talk about this. That guy was such an idiot. I wish I could have recorded. I wish I'd have been smart enough to have my phone running some of the things he was talking about. I wish I could have had a video of this guy. What a complete and utter moron this guy was. You know, Woodland camo BDUs, and he had his colonel insignia on. It was polished bright silver instead of subdued, you know, black like it was supposed to be. And he said he was over 83 groups. He said he was the supreme general commander over. Unbelievable. The Queso, you know, I hate to pee in your post toasties here, but you know there are colonels, and there's really very, very few legitimate generals in the militia. There are a very few out there that are in command of nothing, that have decided to make themselves a general, and there are a few. Norm Olson is one of those that I think has deserved, earned his rank as general. And a lot of people that have been in the military, really, it irks them somehow. They start getting that cop attitude for some reason, that there can't be, that they're the only ones seemingly that has that are entitled to those ranks of any kind. If they retired from the service, no, I don't agree with that at all. If they have a, you know, generally it's accepted across the country. And I'm not saying every single unit, but it's accepted across the country that when someone assumes command, let's say five guys get together and they all say, okay, now here we go. We need to do some recruiting. We got to get some more people in here. We're going to start a militia. We're going to be a honest to goodness militia group. So here we are. We're going to talk about this. And good night, Pumpkin Cat. And let's see. Okay, now John Smith over here. We've decided that he is the most level-headed, the most mature, the most knowledgeable, the best trained. And so he is going to be the head of this militia. We're going to start out right now, and he's going to be a colonel. And that is widely accepted across the country. Most people that that start these things, not all of them, I understand. You know, there's hundreds and hundreds of little groups out there. But in general, most of them start out, the leader starts out as a colonel. And that's fine. You know, there are police departments. There are a great number of different organizations out there that are not related to the government that have to have rank structure of some kind. What do we have to do? Make up new stuff so that somebody won't get mad? If you want to be a colonel, be a colonel. Who cares? Doesn't matter. You call yourself whatever you want to. It's better than Starfleet commander. You got to have something. What do you call him? The head Mickey Mouse? The Tinker? That's that. You know, I understand. You may think that captain be more appropriate, and there are some that do that. But generally, overall, most groups will start out with someone who is a colonel. And the other thing is that colonel almost never receives a promotion after that. He is that, and he will remain that until he gets out of that group. And that's just the way it is. I see what you're saying, Queso, and I hear it all the time. Queso says his complaint is that you see these groups that are about platoon size, and I really believe the rank should represent the unit size in realistic MT1E. We can't do that. It's impossible, Queso, right now. It is absolutely impossible because there are not any groups in the United States that are that large. If there's anything close, it would be Northern California. Most of the outfits out there, the commands are organized on are based on not unit size, but geographical boundaries. It could be a county. It could be six counties. And say, okay, this maybe the state's divided into say four sections, and you have the western sector over here, and there'll be a commander of that sector. If there's five people in it or 500, he's commander of that area, not of the people that are a part of it. And as now let me tell you why this is, or tell you why we have done it with our group. We expect that there will be a tremendous influx of people when things start going haywire. We see people already that are picking up and becoming a little more interested when they didn't used to be. And the reason for that is because we want everything in place already when we have this big influx of people. So everything's already laid out. And when it happens, everything is just going to flow like water and everything will be fine. We don't have to jump out there and say, oh my God, what do we do? Where'd all these people come from? How do we handle this? We got to start organizing. No, we don't. We already have it sorted out. We already know exactly what we're going to do. It is written in our rules and regulations and our bylaws, and everybody reads that and accepts it before they get in there. And so our commanders are commanders of an area, not of a group of people, however many people are in that area. And then there are provisions for commanders under that one that are not there yet. There's not any. They don't exist yet. But the position is there. The titles are there. The requirements for someone to be in that position are already there. So when it happens, we just, okay, here. Now, this guy shows leadership. He's been with us a long time. He's been in the militia a year, which he is required to be in a certain amount of time. He's required to be at a certain rank. And there are some exceptions to that upon the requirements of the unit. We have everything laid out in writing. Everybody signs that, initials thing, they've read it, they agree with it, and that's the end of that. If you don't like it, pack your stuff, put it in the truck, and drive away. It is non-negotiable. We didn't put all this together so we can change it every 3 months when somebody gets pissed off. This is how it is. If we see a need to change this at some point, then we'll talk about that when the time comes. But we're not going to change everything just because somebody gets a burr under their saddle for some reason or another. Okay, so we'd like that. We'd love for you guys to come up here now. Let's see. The RSR team is using warrant officer rank as the highest rank. And that's okay, Mars. There's I'm not sure. And see, there's another thing that if for the purists out there, they would not agree with warrant officer because warrant officer is sheerly a technical position. A warrant officer is never ever a leader of anything. They're a like a section chief or something, and they're not they're pilots and all of that. So, but that's okay if that's what you guys do. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I wish that there could be. Are you off to bed? Come here. See you mañana. There's one of the granddaughter heading off to bed there. So, if that's what you guys do, nobody should be able to say that you can't do that if that's what you want. The only thing I would say is that's going to become, since no other militia that I'm aware of has warrant officers, you're going to have a little bit of trouble interacting or training or, somebody assigning. Let's say we start working with another group, even in wartime. How do you put your warrant officers in? What are they equivalent to? So we have kind of tried to stick with the Army standard here. We did away with second lieutenant. And everything is pretty much the same, just to keep it reasonably standard, so that if we have to interact with the actual military or with other groups, we have a very similar organizational or command structure, so that we can kind of fall into place with other units. And I think it might be a little easier, but that is entirely up to the group and the leaders and that make those decisions for any individual group. Let's see. Okay, so in one of these days, we as militias have a large event-type meeting of the minds convention. Yeah. I'd like to see that, Queso. I really would. I don't know how successful it'll be, because it'll be what will happen will be just like what's going on in Texas right now with this so-called Commander Davis, taking things. I won't get into it too much here, but Commander Davis is losing credibility pretty quick down there, and I won't get into it any further than that. But I wish that we could do that. I'll tell you some guys that that are real. Real leaders in the group. Okay, so I would desperately like for you to share whatever you feel comfortable sharing with me on that. I have a very real need to have some inside info on that. I'll tell you somebody who is probably one of the best militia commanders, and he's a colonel in the country. And that is my good friend Bob Wright down in southern New Mexico. He is truly a leader of men. And he does a fine job. Good job. Mike Vanderbo could be, if he would get into the militia. He's more into the His health is really not such that he can get out and do some of the things that a lot of the rest of us do. But he could still be something like a state commander. And state commanders don't necessarily, depending on what how your unit is laid out, they don't necessarily have to get out and do things with everybody else. What they do is coordinate with other units. They tell you their commanders, okay, this is what I'd like to see you do. This is where I want you to have your FTX. This is what I want you to train on during this FTX. I want to talk to the training NCO for that sector, and this is what I'd like to see done. And that's fine. The 007, buddy, moved to central Arizona. We can always go to southern Arizona when we need to, but it is way, way too hot to move to southern Arizona. You have got to be freaking kidding me. No, you do not want to move to southern Arizona. We can go down there. It's only a couple hours away, 3 hours, so not a biggie. That's a dry heat. Yeah, you can stick that, buddy. It's a dry heat, all right. It's a dry lot of heat. Let's see. Is there one? Okay, queso was there. Okay, I really need whatever you feel comfortable sharing with me on that. We can do it through whatever means that you are comfortable with. It's very, very important right now. Yeah. By the way, I don't know if you guys know or not, but it was in Goodyear, Arizona, a week and a half ago, it was 131 degrees. Don't give me that dry heat crap, buddy. Well, 131 degrees is 131 degrees. It can be dry, it can be wet, it can be whatever. That's not where people are supposed to be. Firewall, all you got to do. You don't listen often enough. You would already know my answer to that. Put your stuff in a truck and drive away. I know in your position it's about near impossible, but anyway, that's my answer to everything. If you don't like the laws, you don't like what's going on, you just put it in the truck and drive away. For those of you that were listening back in August of 2011, we were down in Quartzsite at that time. It was 124 degrees. And son, I'm going to have you know, I don't know how much worse that extra 7 degrees would have been, but 124 was about as much as I was interested in. Now, when I was in Fort Irwin, California, yeah, we trained 110, 115, 16, 18 degrees all the time, all year long. Now, it's the one thing to do it as a militia and do it, you know, every other weekend or something, but we were out there all the time. And it was, and I'll tell you what, MOP training, MBC training, MOP suits in 120 degree weather. No, people start looking real hard for a reason to go see the school nurse that morning, go try to get a profile for something to stay out of that. But, we do the same thing. Okay, so if the exercise that we're participating in at the time requires full battle rattle, then we're in it regardless of the weather. That's what we do. Okay, well, it's about break time. We're going to talk about Bundy Ranch a little bit after the break. But since we were talking about militia and what's going on in Texas and all of this, then I feel it only fitting that we talk about a couple of articles that have come out here in the recent past, like yesterday. Let me see here. Let me get... need to drag one more thing down here. How about that? All right. Stay with me.
Nobody dared to meet him in an open press debate. He was nominated by the folks from every state. Yes, a monkey was the president, though maybe not the first.
Now you listen to me.
Who the hell are you?
You know. You all know exactly who I am. Say my name.
Do what? I don't have a damn clue who the hell you are.
Yeah, you do.
That's right. Now, say my name.
John Galt on the Teotihuacan Radio Show, live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Just Measures Radio Network.
Join us every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is? It's a chain I go get and beat you with till you understand who's in rookie command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
Who is this genius?
Sundays, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the Just Measure Radio Network.
Shotgun blast, shotgun boogie.
Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, inviting you to join me for the Shooting Bench PM, the evening edition. Shooting Bench PM is your source for all things guns. Guns, hunting, reloading, firearms training, competition, and a host of other firearms-related topics.
Look out, bushy tail, tonight you'll be in the pot. Shotgun boogie. Draws a bead so fine. Look out, big boy, he's loaded all the time.
The Shooting Bench PM does not include news or politics unless it is directly related to your gun rights. Thursday evenings from 9 to 11 p.m. Mountain Time, right here on Just Measures Radio Network.
I'll be back, little gal, when your pappy runs out of shell.
Join me in the Tinker Shop Saturday evenings, 9 p.m. on JMR. Remember, we all are the library for those who come after us.
It was over in a moment and the folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron.
All right. Go to the second hour of the Shooting Bench here. And you guys that are still with me, I appreciate you hanging in there. I know that it gets awful late out there in the, on the East Coast, and I appreciate those of you that hang in there with me. Even Central Time, it's getting pretty late. Before I get into this Bundy Ranch thing, there was something here that prompted me to say a little bit more about the militia here. When I said... yeah, we get out and train in full battle rattle when it requires it. And he says that's the only way to do it. And it just kind of prompted me to say something. I was in a discussion with some people on Facebook the other day. And they are some of those... I won't even say the branch of the service, but... There are some of those that they very much act like cops. That they served, they have the training, they had the title, they had the government blessing that they were whoever in the hell that they were, and that the militia was so second rate. Well, I'm going to tell you something, and you can take this for what it's worth, and you can jump up and kiss my ass if you don't like it. But you take some loyal, dedicated civilians. Maybe they don't know anything. But, son, they're trying. They're out there. I don't care what rank structure they use. I don't care what they, as long as they go out and don't go out and pretend to be something that they're not, and they're willing to take advice and willing to train. I wasn't in a combat MOS. I don't know half the stuff that I wish I did, but I was in the Army, and we went to the field a lot, and I've trained hard in a lot of different things. But there are a million people out there, a million good men that know infinitely more than I do. But we try. We're out there regularly. We may not be doing things exactly as the book says, and we may not be doing things exactly as your SEAL team commander would have you to do it, but we're out there. And we're willing, and I was at Bundy Ranch. And I was at Quartzsite, and I was in Otero County. And we go and do the things that we feel necessary to do, that we're inspired to participate in. And that's just the way it is. And Big Army Ways, that's right, Queso. Big Army Ways are not always right, but there are those that believe they're just like cops. They believe that they are. And they think that militia, they talk down to them just like cops do to civilians, you know, when it comes to talking about guns or talking about, you know, anything. And I shouldn't say cops in general, because not all cops are that way. Obviously, when I talk about any group, I never mean every single person in that group. But you see that every one of you have seen it when you've talked to a cop about something. That they talk down on civilians sometimes for the things that they do. I shouldn't say civilian, cops are civilians too, but they do work for the government. So anyway, that's all I got to say about that. Okay, so you keep bringing this stuff up, and it keeps reminding me of something. And I have told people over and over, you're exactly right. You are absolutely right. Someone with a big army attitude will almost always be a poor militia leader. I would change that wording just a tiny bit, and instead of maybe almost always, I would say not necessarily be a good militia leader. Let's put it that way. Just because they have experience, just because they were in combat, just because they were a E7, doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be a good militia leader. It means that they were a good NCO in the Army under the rules and regulations, provisions, and strict training that they had and guidelines that they had to go by. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to do so well. It doesn't mean they'll do bad. Doesn't mean they'll be the best. Doesn't mean they'll be the worst. But sometimes there are more things involved with the militia than strictly Army training or Marines or whatever the case may be. So, Queso, you're absolutely right there, and I agree with you 100%. So, let's. Something just came out yesterday in USA Today, and I've got to read this. It's a little bit long, and I'm not going to try to ad lib through it. I'm going to read it word for word and let you guys make your own opinions here. Here is, it says, Ranch Dispute Festival. What USA Today does is they have an area here in their opinion section, and it has our view, meaning USA Today's view, and then they have an opposing view. The opposing view is not nearly as big as the our view. But let me read USA Today's view first, talking about Bundy Ranch. Government authorities were wise to back off in April when scofflaw Nevada rancher Cliven Bundy surrounded himself with armed supporters to avoid paying more than $1 million in grazing fees and penalties he had accumulated over two decades. Stop. Stop right there. This first paragraph. It says, I'm trying to read the chat room here, and this paragraph, it said the scofflaw in Nevada. Okay, we could let that go. Not a big deal. Surrounded himself with armed supporters. No, he didn't. He made it very clear to everyone that he is not in charge. He didn't tell anybody anything that he wanted them to do. He didn't say, he made no demands or requests whatsoever as to how the militia acted or the supporters that were there. He didn't surround himself with armed supporters, and if he did, it wasn't to avoid paying. What could we do to avoid paying his fees and penalties? No. So let's start again. As infuriating as it was that Bundy had repeatedly defied court orders and insisted he could graze his cattle wherever he pleased, he wasn't worth a bloody confrontation. 3 months later, though, Americans who obey the law and pay their bills might wonder how long Bundy and his gun-toting pals are going to get away with rejecting the rule of law. You need to brush up a little bit on what the Constitution says. We'll talk about that a little more in a minute. It's bad enough Bundy is thumbing his nose at courts and government officials. Allowing armed paramilitaries to back down the government at gunpoint is worse. It depends on who you ask. In a nation awash in firearms, where a small but heavily armed fringe seethes with anti-government paranoia, that just invites more trouble. Anti-government paranoia. Okay, so you're right again. Feds are the ones rejecting the rule of law. That is exactly right. Indeed, a report released last week by the Southern Poverty Law Center says the Bundy Ranch incident was carefully planned by armed right-wing groups which have been galvanized by their perceived victory. This was not carefully planned by anybody. This was the epitome of the Minuteman image here. As this stuff started coming down, the militias jumped in the truck, put their crap in the truck, and drove away. They went to where they were needed. There was nothing planned. There was not a damn minute's worth of planning going in there. It was pretty much like, honey, I'm sorry, but I got to go, and I got to go now. I'm not going to be able to make that meeting. I'm calling in sick for work, taking vacation for the rest of the week. I got to go. They didn't plan a damn thing. All the planning that was done was made on the drive up there. Stupid. Both the Bureau of Land Management and the Sheriff of Nevada's Clark County agree that Bundy crossed a line and should be held accountable. How that might happen is a mystery, however. The only obvious sign of action is an unseemly finger-pointing spat between the BLM and the sheriff over who let the Bundy affair get out of control. The BLM says it continues to pursue the matter aggressively through the legal system. Okay, that's fine. You can do it through the legal system all you want. Most of Bundy's political supporters abandoned him after he was recorded venting racist views. No, they didn't. A handful might have, but most of them did not, because there was no racist views. There was no racist nothing. Matter of fact, one of his personal bodyguards was a black man and a friend of mine from Las Vegas. Even so, Bundy says about 24 armed defenders are still idling at his ranch, and his supporters tell him they could have thousands more in a matter of hours, according to the Los Angeles Times. Hold on. That might be an exaggeration, though not by much, judging from what happened in April when Bundy became a magnet for angry armed men and women from all over the country. For a time, Bundy's militia included Jared Miller, who a couple of months later gunned down two Las Vegas police officers. No, Actually, Bundy doesn't have a militia. Bundy never had a militia. And these people that gunned down those cops were never a part of it. They were asked to leave, I think. Let me change that. They were told to leave in no uncertain terms. And I believe it was the same day, if not maybe the next day, after they got there. They were actually, let me tell you how important it was for those people to get them out of there. They gave them money to get gas and told them, you know, thanks, but no thanks. Put your crap in your truck and drive away. And that's how long it lasted. I think it was either the same day or the next day after they got there. Photos and video from those tense days in April show described patriots shielded behind highway abutments, pointing rifles in the direction of BLM officials who had rounded up hundreds of Bundy cattle, as a federal judge had authorized them to do. Okay, let's back up again a little bit. Photos and video show those tense days in April, self-described patriots shielded behind highway abutments. Well, those are not abutments, they're barricades, but anyway, getting past that. Pointing rifles in the direction of BLM officials. Now, there is not one picture that I saw that you could verify, that you could ensure and prove that they were pointed toward BLM. Yeah, they were behind highway barricades, so what? You don't know which direction they were pointing. You don't even know which side of the road they were on. Just by looking at the pictures. You can't tell they were pointing at anything. They were sitting there posing for a picture, for all I know. Bundy clings to the discredited theory that the federal government has no authority over public land in Nevada, despite the states having written that authority into its constitution. However loony his legal theories, he's tapping into long-standing anger over federal control of western lands. That's a legitimate topic of discussion, though not one that can be resolved at gunpoint. Well, it hasn't been resolved any other way, and I can discredit their discreditation right now, because it says in the Constitution that the federal government will own 10 square miles, and they changed that a little while later, I believe. I don't know what the exact wording is, but it has something to do with military bases and stuff as that. But in the original Constitution, they can have 10 square miles. Or the original documents. Americans should hope there's more going on behind the scenes to make the point that this sort of behavior cannot stand. There's some virtue in a cooling off period, but the longer the case runs without resolution, the more dangerous a message it sends. Well, put that in your pipe and smoke it. All right, here's the opposing view. Let me turn this here where I can see it a little better. Stand by just a second. Okay, here's the opposing view. Our federal government, this is written by David Livingston. He's a Republican state representative right here in Arizona. Our federal government has become so overtly oppressive in many ways that ordinary citizens have decided that enough is enough, and they are prepared, in some cases anxious, to take a stand somewhere, anywhere. I agree so far. The federal mismanagement of the events at Bundy Ranch has created a difficult and dangerous situation for everyone going forward. Federal authorities were eager to strap on body armor, load up the armored vehicles, and literally invade a cattle ranch, when the appropriate course of action would have been to place a legal lien on the rancher's cattle or use local law enforcement officers such as the county sheriff. Absolutely right. I agree with that paragraph also. Even the sheriff recommended against the federal action, but acting with predictable arrogance and overly aggressive and militarized federal law enforcement action prompted a predictable response from ordinary citizens. I agree with that one also. Then a news media frenzy ensued that encouraged more people to come from far and wide to take a stand. Yep, it did. At the end of it all, federal authorities had to back off, but not before promising that they would return to finish what they started. Whatever. Another push by heavily armed federal agents is an invitation to violence. Yet we cannot have a situation where citizens decide for themselves which laws they feel like following and when or if they will recognize their own government as legitimate. Today, Clive and Bundy is a celebrity who can raise large sums of money to fight for his cause in the courts. That is where this matter needs to return. Once a court reviews Bundy's claims as well as those of the federal government, a decision will be rendered that will need to be enforced. When the time comes for that enforcement, local law enforcement is best suited to handle the task. We remain a nation of laws and due process. Bundy deserves to be heard. In return, he has a moral and legal obligation to peaceably abide by the results of a fair and impartial process. But this process needs to begin afresh if it is to enjoy the confidence of our nation's citizens. Okay. We are absolutely a nation of laws. But it is laws that are not being followed. We very much are a nation of laws, and a nation of too many laws. But we are still a nation of laws. It's just that they're ignoring them. They're ignoring the Constitution. As a matter of fact, let me show you a little thing. Let me find this here. Stand by just a minute. Tell you what your vice president said here recently. Let me see if we can. I know this is awful low. Here we go. Let's hear what your vice president has to say here.
No law-abiding citizen in the United States of America.
Hang on a minute.
Any...
Let's try this again. Pretty low sound here.
No, the American people are with us. They should know. You all should know. There's a moral price to be paid for inaction. And ladies and gentlemen, the organized opposition, the same opposition that I've been involved with for 40 years.
You know, that's too low to even hear. Anyway, what he says, this is what he said in this sound bite here. He said, no ordinary American cares about their constitutional rights. No ordinary American cares about their constitutional rights. There you have it. Vice President of what once was the most powerful nation in the world. Infidel, that's funny right there. All right, let's. Where are we at? We still got a little time. Okay, that's. Let's see. Did I finish reading? Okay, I read both of those. So, that's our latest report from Bundy Ranch. Now let's switch gears here and let's look at a couple other things. I got to get through some news articles here. I have so many things. This was in North Carolina. This is funny. North Carolina restaurant has joined in with other restaurants, large and small, around the U.S. in asking that customers not bring guns inside. Robbed at gunpoint. Seemingly random crime that has further galvanized gun control opponents. Why does it galvanize gun control opponents? Why do they not look up and say, oh, damn it. We screwed up. If there would have been just one guy in there with a gun, maybe that wouldn't have happened. Of course, one guy with a gun doesn't necessarily have to stop a robbery either. As long as nobody's getting hurt, the money's insured. Don't worry about that. If it looks like it's about to get out of hand, or if there is shooting, then absolutely you should jump up there and stop it. You don't just stop a robbery just because, that's a personal call to decide what you need to do with it. Are you legally justified in doing so? Probably so. Are you morally justified? It's up to you. If you feel like a guy is gonna pull the trigger or has already pulled the trigger, then absolutely, no question about it. Police are looking for three masked men that entered the Pit Authentic Barbecue through the building's back door. Employees forced to lie on the floor. Two were assaulted, although not seriously hurt. So if they were assaulted and carrying guns, then somebody had every justification in the world to jump in there and stop that. How much money they got away with, not clear. Customers are not harmed. But anyway, That has turned the incident from a local crime story into one worthy headlines outside of North Carolina, is the resident's proprietor had previously hung a sign on the door asking that customers follow a no weapons and no concealed firearms policy. The position, while not explicitly political, aligns with the pit with major chains like Chipotle. You know, we've talked about all that stuff. Which asked customers not to bring guns into its stores after gun control opponents flaunted military-style assault rifles. You know, that whole thing pisses me off so bad. There was absolutely no excuse whatsoever. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again, because it ticks me off so bad, that these morons in a couple of different states in several different places carry their military-style assault, quote-unquote, assault weapons into places just to prove a point. Legally allowed? Yeah. Yeah, okay, so I know you can't carry anything else, but you can't tell me that one of those people that did that normally carries an AR-15 around on their shoulder when they're shopping and stuff from day to day. They did it to make a point, and they screwed it up for everybody. If that was something that they normally and typically do all the time, no, it's not. There was a group of people got together and said, hey, this is our constitutional right. Let's all put our AK-47s over our shoulder and our M1As and everything, and let's go down and get a cup of coffee. That's not something that's typically done. They did it to make a political statement. You don't carry guns to make political statements. They were. Okay, so you're right. They were. What the hell? Get out of here. Get off of me. They were pointing out an ideological fallacy. That's exactly right. But I believe that they went about it in very much the wrong way. Look what they caused. Look what happened. There's a line there somewhere that needs to be not cry. It goes back to is it legal for me to carry in the movie theater in Arizona? Yes, it is. Do I? No, I don't. Not openly. I carry concealed. It's one of the very few places that I carry concealed. Why? Because all we need is for one soccer mom to say, oh, I don't feel safe coming in here with my kids anymore. And they complain to the owner of the theater, and the theater says, you know what? What's the big deal? Let me just put a sign up and stop this right now, and everybody will be comfortable. So he puts up a state-approved sign, so from then on, you either break the law or you don't go. Why? Because I had to prove a point to carry my gun in the theater. We're not out there to make a point. We do what we normally do from day to day. And I will adjust that. When I was in New Mexico, it was legal for me to carry my gun openly or concealed into the, Boys and Girls Club. At the time, and as far as I know, it still is, it was legal for me to carry it in there. Should I? Absolutely not. Why should it go in there? It would be predictable to cause panic. We're not there to cause panic. And if someone, and just like it happened with with these people that carried rifles in there. Do they carry in Israel? Yes, they do, all the time. That's a whole different thing. That is a completely different story in Israel. Because everybody does and everybody always has. And people don't freak out because it's been that way. So all they've done is caused, you know, a dozen different stores around the country, more than that, to be... to put up signs and keep us out of there. The other thing is, when rifles are carried, let me tell you some other things that could happen. Thank God they didn't. Handguns are carried typically in holsters, in purses, in fanny packs, somewhere where the trigger guard is covered and there's no actual handling of the gun. Now, I have seen way too many times, I have taught a lot of people, and I've seen a lot of people be taught by others. And I see some of the most piss poor gun handling with long guns that you could possibly imagine. And when people unsling it off of a shoulder, they'll lean it up against the wall. Now, did they? I don't know. I wasn't there. But the potential is there. You lean it up against the wall, not in a corner, and it slides over and falls down. It falls down and goes off. Yes, rifles can do that. Handguns can do that. Any gun can do it. If it hits just right, depending on the type of safety that it has and whether the safety is applied or not and whether there's a round in the chamber or not. Yes, it can go off. That was one of the things I didn't like about Bundy Ranch. Everybody around there carried rifles with rounds in the chamber. There was no excuse for that until there was need to use the rifle. They don't even do that in combat areas around on posts and bases and stuff. Now I just got a text message here from someone who is listening but is not on the chat. Ask an excellent question. What if they carried those rifles in as an op for the opposition? Worked, didn't it? Yeah, good point. Thank you, Casper Mountain. I very much remember Queso when he driving around. When I was in school, we could carry guns in gun racks in the pickup as long as they stayed in the pickup. Nobody cared. Nobody thought anything about it. But still, nobody carried 30-30s downtown to get a Coke. A lot of people carried handguns. But when you start doing things out of the ordinary to make a point, I think you're defeating the purpose, and they did much, much more damage than they did good. They didn't do any good, any at all, whatsoever, not a speck. Just like I'm not doing by talking past my break here. So we're going to take our last break for the night, and let me see, I'm going to move that. No, I'm not going to move that. We're going to play it again. Played it a couple days ago, or Thursday or Friday. I'll try it one more time. I'll be back.
I'll be back.
I know. I said that already.
Hurricanes. Tornadoes. Western firestorms. Earthquakes. Financial collapse. Government upheaval. What happens when Walgreens closes? Who do you turn to? You turn to Cat Ellis. Myself, Chuck Hudson, on the Medi-Chat, and learn how combat medicine and alternative herbal remedies can help keep you going no matter what. The Medi-Chat, live 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, on the Just Measures Radio Network.
My name is John Q. Public, and I am a member in good standing of an organization called America, and I have a message for those agencies and agents that work under the auspices of the Department of Justice. You have called me many things in the past, rebel, right-wing extremist, domestic terrorist, to name a few, but that is not important. What I'm about to tell you is... There must be accountability in all things, sooner or later. When you sin, however big or small, you will be held accountable, either in this life or the next. When you invade people's privacy, violate their rights, steal property, break up families, and hurt people, the time is fast approaching that you will be held accountable both in this life and the next. You and I took the same oath, administered by the same people. We both swore to protect the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Some of you actually feel that you honor that oath, but you violate it each time you force a young girl to her bedroom floor in nothing but her underwear and hold her there at gunpoint. Or when you shoot or stomp a family pet to death, or shoot a young boy down in cold blood in the mountains of Idaho, or incinerate over 70 innocent people in a church in Texas. Warriors, indeed. How dare you call me a domestic terrorist? I go to work every day, sometimes at two jobs to make ends meet. I attend church every Sunday that I'm not working. As difficult as it is, I try to make time each day for my kids. I teach them about the Constitution and the Golden Rule. I have extra food and supplies to help myself and others through hard times. I try as hard as I can to obey the ever-increasing number of laws that are forced upon us, and I pay my fair share of taxes. I have a gun to protect myself and my family against those who would do us harm. I shouldn't have to use it to protect us against you. In fact, your organization is not even authorized by the Constitution and shouldn't be here, but since you are here, let's talk about your job description and performance. We have common enemies, you and I, that we should be united in fighting. The Founding Fathers never intended for us to fight each other. We should be as one. The current us-against-them attitude should never have been allowed to rear its ugly head. Division is unhealthy for the country. You will undoubtedly conduct more unconstitutional invasions of homes and businesses, and more innocent people will be injured or killed. A dairy in Pennsylvania, a rabbit grower in Kansas, a gun shop in New Mexico. It may even be me and my family. But let me make one thing abundantly clear. We, the people, have grown weary of living in fear. We're tired of being treated like animals. If you continue to follow the path that you are on, the time may come when you will not find us waiting to be descended upon when we least expect it. We may come to you. We outnumber you 1,000 to 1, and the same people that trained you trained many of us. We, the people, are becoming aware of those numbers. One day, you will launch one of your cowardly sneak attacks on an unsuspecting young family in Idaho, and instead of your brave sniper finding a defenseless, unarmed woman holding a baby in her arms, he may find that the tables have been turned. One day, instead of terrorizing and destroying another American family in retribution for a trivial infraction of an unconstitutional law, instead of shooting down defenseless children or young veterans that are trying only to live the American dream, you may find patriots waiting for you that have been pushed to their limit. One day, you will find that you have awakened a sleeping giant, and we, the people, will indeed hold you accountable for your evil deeds. Hundreds of men, women, and children have died at your hand because of poor information, no information, or just plain overzealous, out-of-control power freaks on an adrenaline high that have no regard for human life. Agents that think their badge is a license to kill with impunity. The difference between you and us is that we will not harm your family as long as they stay out of the fight. I don't want your family to go through what you have put many of ours through. Yes, they will be sad if you don't come home, but when the grieving is over, they will come to understand that you simply chose the wrong side. You see, this is nothing more than a conflict between good and evil. It's that simple, but this is not how it is supposed to be. This is not the America that the Founding Fathers entrusted us with. I implore each of you, before you go to work tomorrow, to take a long, hard look at yourself in the mirror and see if you truly like what you see. If you can look at yourself and be proud of what you've done, or what you may be called upon to do, or more importantly, if you feel that you can walk uprightly before God and look Him in the eye and feel justified in what you have done, then we have nothing further to discuss. But some of you are not really jackbooted thugs. Some of you are simply misguided and feel that you really are doing the right thing. To you, I say, please, follow your conscience, do what you know in your heart is right, for we the people will hold you accountable.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Colt Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench, here on Just Measures Radio.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain.
Okay, I'm back here. There was something here that I wanted to. You're right, and I think we're trying to say the same thing a little bit. I do blame the liberalization of America, absolutely. But because of the liberalization of America, those people were not just trying to exercise their rights. They were trying to make a point. If they were simply exercising their rights, then I would have no beef with it. But they were doing things that is abnormal, that nobody sees them do, typically. If they were just doing the things that they normally do, but if they had to do something that was above and beyond, and I just don't think it was a good idea. I appreciate what they were trying to do, and God bless them for having the mindset to try to do it. But I think they should have. I know it's the only thing that they can carry in Texas. They pack your stuff and move out of Texas. They could have carried concealed in Texas. Will it make the same point? No, because they wouldn't have seen it. But that's my point, is that they could have done what they normally do all the time, and it wouldn't have had of the... Queso, we got room here in Arizona. People and present company excluded, of course, but a lot of people that live in Texas, oh, yeah, this is such a great state, such a great Second Amendment. No, it's not. Texas is not bad. It's a whole lot better than a lot of other states. But it is not nearly what Arizona, Wyoming, Montana, Nevada, even New Mexico, Kansas, Oklahoma, Virginia. It ain't nearly what those states are when it comes to the Second Amendment and Second Amendment rights. It's not bad, but it's not what a lot of people claim it is. That stigma that goes along with Texas. Now, don't get me wrong, because I love Texas. I spent a lot of time in Texas. I have been everywhere in Texas, from one end to the other, side to side, top to bottom, everything in the middle. The only one place, one area that I haven't been in is Brownsville. I haven't been actually in the town of Brownsville. But other than that, I have been everywhere in that state, and I had a ball every place I went. But I'm going to tell you, it's not what it's cracked up to be. Oh, Thunderbore, I'm glad you got here just in the time to listen to the last 18 minutes of the show. Way to go. No, we're glad. We're glad you made it in anyway. Good job. Okay, Minnie, looks like Minnie's leaving, going to bed. Appreciate it. We're getting more people here. We're going towards the end. We got more people than we've had. Let's see, Medic Shack producers come in. Edge of the Woods come in there. Who else we got? Firewall and the SR bunch still with us. Thunderbore. We lost most of our anonymous, except for one, but we've picked up some we're not anonymous. All right, well, let's just continue to march here. So here's, this goes along right with that story. Jack in the Box. Robbed at gunpoint again. The third time since guns were banned from the store. Why were they banned from the store? Because there's people with rifles in there prompting them to do it. This didn't just happen in Texas. There was other places that it happened too. But, now, does that make it right, wrong, or indifferent? Well, it's what happened. You know, we can, on the one hand, we can say, well, whoop-de-doo. That's what happens. You ban guns and you get robbed at gunpoint. And there's no way to stop it. Okay. But on the other hand, we could have said, you know, those guys with the rifles hadn't gone in there and done what they'd done. Maybe somebody would have stopped those robberies. I don't know. Depends on how you look at it, I guess. There's no. This is one of those things, there's probably no real good right or wrong answer. Let's see. Now, we talk about rights and not rights at risk, but rights in general. There's a very clever little plot going on here with all this legalized dope, legalized marijuana. What a lot of people have failed to recognize here, and we talked about this a long time ago on the shooting bench, a lot of people have failed to recognize that on your 4473, when you buy a gun, it asks you a question about substance use, drug, whatever. I forgot I don't think I have any old 4473s in here. But because of that question, then people, the federal law doesn't change. The state may say that you can. But if you are, and you lie on that form and get caught, well, woe be unto your ass, you're going to go to jail. And so there's a number of people here just recently in the last several months that have been made federal criminals because they're obeying state law. But the feds still control the purchase of new and used firearms from a dealer. And when the... it's very, very complicated. Very in depth. This guy, one guy's looking at 30 months in prison after taking a deal to plead guilty to being a drug user in possession of a firearm. That's how they're getting them. Federal agents confiscated 68 plants, which he had the legal right to have and use, and several guns from the property. This was in Washington, up north of Spokane. This is also a different person. A retired truck driver and his wife say they grew marijuana for themselves, two other family members, and a friend. Now they're facing mandatory minimum sentences of 10 years in prison. How sneaky is that? Oh, dear me. Let me check here. Yeah, 007, you know, I have to, I didn't even have high blood pressure before I started the shooting bench. Now I've listened to my own stuff, and it makes me a little bit crazy sometimes. Let me see, where can we... Well, let me finish up with this. I was going to save this for Thursday night, and I may mention it Thursday night anyway, but this is significant because it's both gun-related and political. And I was hoping that Mossberg would make this decision. They've been thinking about it for some time, but they've actually come out with a decision. They are investing in Texas. They're moving out of Connecticut. Like I said, Texas is not a bad place. I don't like it because there's no public land anywhere to go shooting on except, you know, national parks and monuments and stuff. But, you know, you go all over the state and everything's one big damn ranch or a city one where there's hardly any place to go that you can go out and legally shoot unless you're going to a range or you know somebody that has piece of land where you can go do that. But outside of that, I have had a ball in Texas. I've spent several years there, several different times. I know Texas as well as any Texan out there. But anyway, Mossberg has, when Connecticut pushed their ban through, the one thing I like about Mossberg is it's still family-owned. One of the very few, if not the only, one of the very few family-owned. The CEO of Mossberg is, in fact, Ivor Mossberg. Says investing in Texas was an easy decision. It's a state that not only committed to economic growth, but also honors and respects the Second Amendment, well, for the most part, and the firearms freedoms it guarantees for our customers. Mossberg has taken its Maverick Arms facility, the Maverick shotguns, in Eagle Pass, Texas, with 116,000 new square feet of factory space. According to the BATF, Mossberg made 475,364 guns in America in 2011. Of those guns, 423,570 of them were shotguns made for sportsmen, shotgun sports enthusiasts, and law enforcement, and for self-defense. More than 90% of Mossberg's guns are now made in Texas. Some of its Connecticut jobs are going there, too. We're moving all wood gun stock production to our Texas facility. More of our product lines, like our modern sporting rifles, might move to Texas in the future. Texas has been good to us. Also, our gun sales have been so dynamic over the last number of years, we've outgrown our facilities. This major expansion will help keep up with demand. Mossberg is the oldest family-owned and operated firearms manufacturer. It's also the largest pump-action shotgun manufacturer in the world. Rick Perry's been working hard to get them in there, and it looks like he was successful in them. There was a story in here about, by the way, Firewall went the extra mile for us the other day and talked to Mossberg directly about the MVP that we discussed the other night. And they do, in fact, take both the AR platform magazines and the M1A magazines. So that's a... I think that's a very cool thing. I want one real bad. Let's see. Let me go down through here and see what's going on in the chat room. Queso, buddy, if you ask me, the 590 is absolutely the only pump-action shotgun made in the whole world. 870 is a fine gun. I still have one, as a matter of fact. But no, I don't either. I got rid of my last 870. I have three Mossbergs now, a 500 and two 590s. Great, great shotgun. Let's see. Casper Mountain has a question. Since I've been virtually without internet, I've tried to download from TSB.podmint. The latest is June 25th. I'm not sure, Casper Mountain. That could be. I know I'm behind. I got a bunch of them loaded up the other day. I will check on that tonight after the show. I'll check. I won't be able to do too much to it tonight because I've got to operate on my youngest toe in there. I've done a couple of operations here. Did one yesterday, and that was to remove a insert thing out of my oldest middle daughter's arm. Had to cut that open and pull it out, and it didn't want to come because it was grown in there attached, so we had to leave it. But now I'm gonna be coming quite the doctor here. Firewall, I'm not a huge fan of the Sega. It is reliable enough, absolutely. It's a little on the hefty side, a little on the unwieldy side for me. The pump shotgun is like the lever action rifle. It is so well balanced and so smooth, and no appendages and sharp edges or anything. It's just a damn fine piece of equipment. And the weak part of the Sega, magazines, buddy. These big ass magazines you put in them hold 5 rounds. If you get the 10-round magazines or the drums, geez, you're looking at... And being the platform that it is, you don't have the opportunity. The thing with the pump shotgun is you can, in just a matter of seconds, a matter of a second, whoop a shell out of a side saddle or out of a bandolier and shove it in literally while you're aiming at a target. And you keep putting, you shoot one, load one if you have to. The magazine runs out, you have a piss poor single shot in a Sega. You have a very fast single shot in a pump. Segas might be okay if you were sitting in a sandbag position at camp or in the home or in a vehicle or something like that with the bigger magazines. But I'm not a fan. I would much rather have the smooth, sleek, higher capacity, not higher capacity than a Sega, but I mean like the extended tube Mossberg, where I could have somewhere between 6 and 9 rounds, depending on the configuration of the gun. Okay, so I've seen these AR and AK style shotguns. They've never attracted my attention. Something nice. Yeah, I'm with you, buddy. And I'm the same way with lever action rifles. It's just that lever action rifles are not built for sustained fire. They're good intermediate. I don't know if intermediate's the right word, but good moderate fighting guns. But they are not built for pushing hard and fast and over a long-term period of time. DeTinker went out and found the question for us on the 73. Are you an unlawful user of or addicted to marijuana or any depressant or any controlled substance? So are you an unlawful user of? Well, state law says you can. Federal law says you cannot. So even if you have a prescription and are legally able to do that, the feds say you cannot because their laws haven't changed. Just because your state laws have changed, federal laws have not. So you don't have to be addicted to it. You are an unlawful user, according to them. If you answer yes to that question, the dealer is obligated to take up your 4473, write no sale on it, put it in the bin, so thank you very much. Please move along. And Queso, you're absolutely correct. They do need to butt out of it, but they're not going to. Not anytime soon. As long as everything is still, the rule of law is still reasonably intact, that's not going to change. It needs to, but it's not going to. The select slug drills and going to buckshot or a slug or whatever with a pump, infinitely in my mind more attractive than the Sega or any some a lot of those other types of guns. Okay, anyway, there was another question here somewhere a while ago. The KSG or the UTA, I have no experience with those whatsoever, Firewall. I don't know anything about them at all. So I am no help to you. I'm sorry about that. I'll see if I can get some of those experience one of these days. Okay, if I had to say just one thing that would make the semi-automatic shotgun more attractive than the pump, and that is one-handed operation. Yes, you can do it you can shoot a pump one hand and operate it and get it back in, but it's much, much slower. You can take the Sega or the 1100 or, any of the Winchester, what is it, 1300 or the 1400, the Super X, any of those, and operate them with one hand. You can grab it, put the muzzle down, and load it back up with one hand and get to shooting again just as fast as you can go. The pump, a little bit inconvenient to operate with one hand if you're wounded or tied up somehow or not able to use the other hand for some reason or another. You're going to find that the pump is a liability at that point. But providing both arms are working, both hands are working, you can go pretty well. And it's not that slow. It's still not as slow as a single shot, and probably nearly as fast as a bolt-action rifle. It's just not going to be as fast as that semi-automatic shotgun. Okay, well, I'm rambling now. I'm going on and on and on and on and on, so I'm going to bow out here. I'm going to ease on over here close to the door and see if I can sneak out while nobody's looking. And Queso, I'll be calling you tomorrow at the time that you mentioned there, which would be as fine. Yeah, I think I can do that. I have about an hour in that time frame before I will need that information to pass along. So, all right, let me find my open and closing thing here. And I'm out of here. I will see you all in the morning with Amy's show and again tomorrow night with the Shooting Bench. Thanks for joining me. Appreciate it very much.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.